Good afternoon. My name is Beth, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to our ISGA Sustainable Production Forum call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there is a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Jim Sutter, CEO of UAB Export Council, you may begin your conference.
Beth, thank you very much. And as you said, this is Jim Sutter with USEC, and I'm speaking to you today from Delhi, India, where we are on an International Soy Growers Alliance mission. The International Soy Growers Alliance was founded in 2006 and is comprised of soybean growers from Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Paraguay, Uruguay, and the United States. And I'm so pleased that we have U.S. growers represented in this organization, because even though we are competitors in many ways with those other countries that are obviously soybean growers, we compete in the marketplace to sell soybeans. There are certain areas where we can collaborate together and have a stronger voice by working together than if we were working singly. And some of those areas are particularly in the area of market access, where we share common problems and common opportunities to try and have better understanding with the customers around the world. And we're doing that right now. We're on a mission. We've been in China for a few days. We're now in India, and we are working to try and impress upon the customers in these markets the long-term commitment of the soybean growers around the world in being a good supplier to them, in helping them to ensure the food security that they need in their countries, and to have a good commercial relationship with them. So with that as background, I'm really pleased to be able to introduce two growers who are both on the U.S. Soybean Export Council Board of Directors and represent the boards of our founding members in this organization. And I'm going to let them give you some response and some feedback from what they are taking away from the meetings that we've had in China and in India. So first, I guess I will introduce our chairman, Mr. Jim Miller. And he can give you a little bit of background on himself and then share his impressions with you.
Hi, Beth. Thank you for taking the time to visit with us about this today. I am Jim Miller, a producer from Belden, Nebraska, and I serve as chairman of the United States Soybean Export Council and also a director with the American Soybean Association. And it's been a great learning opportunity for me to come to this ISGA mission on this travel here to better understand how we can work together with our ISGA partners and help in our efforts to work for food security and food safety around the world by the work that the ISGA group does. While we was in China, we started out the meeting that I was able to attend with on that one day there. We had a meeting in the morning with about 12 to 15 different media people, and each of the six countries had a presentation that we gave, and then we had time after that for a question and answer session with the media. And it gave us a good opportunity to help educate the people there about the importance of biotechnology, why we use biotechnology on our farm, and help to dispel some of the myths. They had a lot of questions about why we're using biotechnology, questions about that we don't use the biotech crops in our food in our country because we don't have any biotech labeling laws, so we must not be using biotech. And they had questions about the cancer study that was done, and so we talked about that a little bit. So it was a good opportunity to help educate the media about the importance of biotechnology and that type of thing. Then later on in the afternoon, we traveled over to the Ministry of Agriculture. We continue to have conversations with Ministry of Ag about the importance of biotech events and the need for new trade approvals to be taken place. And we found out that it's just a slow process. They feel that they are doing everything in the proper time frame, and that the government has very strict directions on the way they approve the traits in China, and so it's just going to take time to get these new traits approved that we're waiting on. So, and then we traveled all day, and we ended up here in Delhi, New Delhi, India. And so we started out today with a meeting with the Confederation of Indian Industries. It's kind of similar to what our Chamber of Commerce would be in the U.S., I guess. And so we got their perspective on Indian agriculture. In India, they produce about 10 million metric tons of soybeans a year on average. They're processing and consuming about 5 million metric tons. In 2012, they exported 5 million metric tons, but last year they had a little bit of a poorer crop, exported nothing. And this year, with the bigger crop production that they're expecting, they only figure that they're going to export about 1 million metric ton. So it shows us that their livestock industry is growing here. Poultry is their main consumer of soy protein over here. And so they do have a growing poultry industry. And there's lots of opportunities for more growth, because the average consumption of poultry in India is only about 3 kilograms per person. And I think in the rest of the world, we probably have about a 16 or an 18 kilogram average.
Or higher, depending on the country.
Or higher, depending on the country.
So it's very low here. So
there is good growth opportunity potential here if the standard of living can increase and they have a better economy and the people can have more money to spend on food. So we're looking at that opportunity. We know that it's not going to happen in the next year or two. It's probably going to take maybe even up to 5 years before we start to see these opportunities come through, but it is providing us some good outlook on the future for possible work with India as a potential customer.
Very good. Thank you, Jim. Now I'd like to introduce Mr. Jimmy Sneed, and Jimmy is from the state of Mississippi, a producer there, and I'll let him give you a little more background on himself and then give him some impressions as well.
Good morning. My name is Jimmy Sneed. I farm in the Hernando, Mississippi area, which is just south of Memphis. And I am a director on the United States Soybean Export Council, as well as a director from the United Soybean Board. Thank you for being with us today. I want to start with another couple of points to make on the China visit. While there, we met with Sinograin and COFCO. Between the two, they're responsible for importing about 25% of the soybeans imported, and in this last year, it was 83.6 million metric. So that's a significant players in the market. Those are state-owned or majority state-owned entities, and the news was encouraging from them. While there has been news of maybe the rate of the growth slowing some, they indicated to us that while the rate of growth may slow a little, they still look to increase to 100 million metric tons by 2020. And so that's still significant growth. We talked some about desire to decrease corn seeding some and increase soybean seedings, and they do expect to, this last year was 17.5 million metric tons production, and they're looking to increase to about 20 million metric tons by 2020. So there is a possibility that's going to cut into the rate of increase for our soybean imports into China. It doesn't look like it will be significant in nature, because they do see demand continuing to rise, and I think overall the mood was positive. I think that they are dealing with some of the same NGO issues we are from the standpoint of the acceptance of technology and in particular GM crops, but I think that as in the U.S., as our policymakers are pro-GM, I think at their core they're pro-GM as well. They're working through the same issues that we are with the public perception and public education issues, which is one of the things that we were dealing and talking to the media about. So those are just issues that are similar to ours. And then now that we have made it to India, while the populations are very similar, they're growing and the numbers start with a B, and the billions of people, that the situation in country is very different. China being a heavily soy food based diet, whereas in India they're not as heavily with the soy food, and the soy is used primarily for the oil and the meal, of course, to feed some of the livestock and for export, as Jim spoke of earlier. But I think one of the things today that stuck out to me was the fact that, and it's something that I have appreciated the opportunity to do, is this is the second ISCA mission I've been on, and being able to get to know my fellow producers in the other countries and understanding their issues, and understand at the end of the day we're all soybean growers, and we're all trying to do it in the most responsible, environmentally friendly way that we can. Each country has their own hurdles that may be more than another country, but that is something we're focusing on. And to back up just a little, that's another thing that we talked about with China, is trying to impress upon them the importance of innovation and technology is going to have as we continue to partner with them to help secure their food supply and their food security, and that this increased production to be able to feed the population is something that's important, and as their policymakers make their decisions, it's something they need to make sure that it's top of mind, that the technology is something that is going to allow us to the producers of soy protein, the vegetable protein around the world, going to allow us to address some of the issues with environmental sustainability and those kind of things that we currently address. And we're talking about some of those same things here in India, and we talked, and that is one of the things that it's been nice to talk to my fellow growers from the other ISCA nations about. And today, when we had representatives from the diplomatic corps of each country assembled around a table today, and we were discussing the issues that we all faced, I think that's one thing that stuck out to me, is that to allow the diplomats to see that we as farmers were working together toward a common cause, and that we were not necessarily competitors in this environment, but we were working together, and that we expected them to work together as well. While they have been doing an admirable job of that in the past, I just think that them being able to see us farmers arm in arm with the same goals, it helps strengthen their relationship, and it just models for them the kind of behavior that we like from them. So India is a market that we're seeking to understand, to try to understand what the potential is here, and how we might strategize to meet mutual interest in the future. So with that, Jim, I'll turn it back to you.
Great. Thank you very much. I think those are great comments from both Jim and Jimmy. Thank you very much. And as they've talked about, we've completed the China portion of our mission. This was the fourth ISCA mission to China over the last few years, and we're on this first real ISGA marketing mission, if I'll call it that, to India. There was an ISGA mission here some time ago, but this is the first one really working while the market is, we're trying to develop the market. So with that, I think we'll stop and see if there are any questions from the people who have been listening to the call.
If you would like to ask a question, star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. We do have a question from the line of Jackie Vaca. Your line is open.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. Jim, I want to ask you first, you mentioned that the biotechnology delays, you kind of perceive as just this is the system and how it's working through. Are you not as concerned? Or, I mean, there's obviously been a lot of push from U.S. interest in recent years that China has maybe not taken on that biotechnology approvals as quickly as they could. Was there new information that you heard, or do you feel like they are going as fast as they could go when it comes to biotechnology approvals?
Well, they talk like they are doing everything that the government is requiring them to do. They're following all the standard procedures for approval of traits. And so they did say that they have approved two new traits this last year. We came up with the one for sure, but we are still trying to figure out which the second one is for positive here. But but they said they are approving new traits. It's just at a slower pace than what we would, as Americans, would like to see, North and South Americans. So they didn't really give us anything different than what we already knew, that that's just a slow process over here in China. And they said just be patient. But the concern for us is that the trait providers are going to get frustrated and not be willing to invest in new technologies if they cannot recoup their investment on a new trait. And so we did relay that message to them as well about our concern for the loss of new opportunities of new traits to come out and help us to combat whether it be weed-resistant issues or insect-resistant issues in South America. So they didn't really give us anything reassuring that it was going to speed up any time soon, just that it was a slow process and that they was doing everything the way that they were supposed to be doing it.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time.
We have a question. Sorry, Beth. Can you hear me?
Yes, your line is open.
Great. I was just wondering, I know you each touched on this, but if you could expand just a little bit on why these missions with farmers from other exporting countries are so important.
Well, from the standpoint of ISCA, this is Jimmy Snead. It shows unity of when if you got the information there, it's Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Uruguay, Paraguay, and the U.S. So that's 95% of the soybeans grown in the world. So when we can work together to understand the markets for the common cause, within that's just beneficial. It's a beneficial thing. You know, the other part of it is it's not that we're just partners. You're talking about the northern and southern hemisphere. So you're talking about a year-round dependable supply. So none of us could be what we are without the other, because essentially it's a year-round growing system. And with the demand right now, it's very similar to the manufacturing of the last several years of this just-in-time inventory management. That's very similar to what's happening in the world today with the vegetable protein. is that we each need the other to supply a market, to grow the market, because of nature, because we can only grow for in each hemisphere half the year. So that's one of the reasons it's so important for us to be able to, one, understand each other's issues, and to find these like-minded goals that we can go out and solve together, and present a unified voice in something that is so important as these synchronous approvals and these transparent, scientific-based approval of innovation in the marketplace.
Great. Thank you, Jimmy.
No further questions.
It would be helpful if we could, if you could introduce maybe the best ways to find out about information on future USEC missions and how to best follow what USEC is doing through websites and that sort of thing. Okay, Beth, I think we're all done with the conference.
Lisa, we were just talking about which was the best source of information, and I think that if people are looking for more information on future ISGA trips, I would recommend they would look at ussoy.org as a source of information, kind of our outward-focusing information site. Information should be there. And there's also the ISGA website, and the website name for that is, do you know, Lisa? I don't have it on the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Yes, that is at globalsoygrowers.org.
www.globalsoygrowers.org. Thank you very much. So between those two sites, globalsoygrowers.org and ussoy.org, there should be information there about what takes place on the current or on the past missions, the current and then past, and as we move forward, and then about future activities for ISGA.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Thank you.
Thank you.